Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mystery on the road. Oh yeah, mystery on the rocks, yeah, mystery on the rocks, yeah.
And welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the show that takes unsolved true mysteries and cocktails and smooshes them together for your listening pleasure. With me, as always, is the fantastic Suze Kempner.
Chin chin.
The amazing Chris Stokes.
Schmoosh.
And I'm Masood Milas. If you've just joined us as well, we're in the Mashmoosh Milas. Well, where are we? We're in the 80s of our long-running series.
It was acceptable in the 80s.
We're in the mid-80s as well.
In the mid-80s.
It's a geopolitics, war, and espionage encompassing all three.
Yeah. And Chris and I have been born. Masood's just around the corner.
I'm just around the corner, just about to be born.
Yeah.
But you were February as well, aren't you?
February 87, yes.
Yeah, so 2+7. So May, you'd have been conceived, right?
Yes, I think so.
Your mum and dad are going to have sex a month after this one.
Wow.
Oh, sweet.
That is, I mean,
probably the same month as well, but like the one that brought you up.
All I know, I could have been adopted. I have no idea. My parents literally are so cagey about my birth.
Yeah, but
a lot around. Like my mum, especially. I've told you this.
Yeah, but you and your sister are clearly related, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So probably the
and
same.
Also, do you not have any? Do you not take after your?
Masood looks
of your
like
parents
Peter Gallagher
at all,
and Grace Jones.
I definitely am becoming more like my mum, though.
Yeah, but that's like a
behavioural,
I guess, like a behavioural thing. But like, what I mean is, genetically, do you not look like either?
Oh,
of them
I think
way?
I look a bit like I look a bit like both of them. I think.
Yeah.
Although I think it's probably in my DNA the mum thing because I have like it generally just bubbles. Any like somebody says, what was it? Yeah, I'll have that voice in my head where I'll just be like, hi, you people. And I'm just like,
she
and
lives
it's not
in
like,
there.
It's just there. It's permanently in there. There's got rent free, as the kids say, living rent free in
as
me.
As the Zoomers say, I'm on Zoom and I'm not a Zoomer. No, ooh. You were born in 1985. Oh, I see.
Oh, so are we millennials then?
Yeah, we're millennials.
Oh, okay.
I guess like it's really annoying because people would say it stopped happening now, but for a while millennial just meant young person.
Yes.
And then like we had to be like no, not necessarily, because now millennials are like 40.
Yeah. I've seen that. So, I think it's in 30 Rock
Rick
or
and
something
Morty.
Like that. Is it Rick and Morty when it goes, aren't
it's
you
a Rick
guys
and
like
40? maybe it's in both, but there's a bit in Rick and Morty where the mum just says something about, I don't know, are they millennials? Is it millennials or are they like 40 now? And it's true now. Yeah, so now millennial means what it means, which is us. And we're the laughing stock of both boomers and Gen Z.
Oh,
and Gen X are really... Gen X and boomers.
Well, Gen X try and keep quiet when this happens, I think.
Oh, because they're the shittest ones.
Yes.
Oh, they're almost certainly the shittest ones, right?
They're the ones responsible for reality bites.
Oh, those guys suck.
We've got a lot
of Gen X listeners. We don't mean you.
I do. I mean you specifically. The other ones are all right.
Gen X were people who were like 25 when Nirvana came out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Gen X are like the friends. Like, you know, the friends and friends, they're Gen X.
Yeah, it's basically people born from like mid 60s to late 70s.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They're the ones that I guess were nominally progressive, but still used to use the bad words.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They were very much, when Hillary Clinton was running for president, they were tweeting, "I'm with her."
Oh, I don't know what's wrong with the R word, that one.
What, redacted?
Yeah. Shall we talk about what we're drinking? Oh, yeah.
I have got something that's delicious.
Yeah, that looks delicious. I love the short glass as well.
It is really delicious. It is Irish whiskey. Mm-hmm. It's chocolate orange liqueur.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, dark matter chocolate orange liqueur. And it is a dash of chocolate bitters. And honestly, you wouldn't know it was alcoholic now.
Like, wow. Just,
it's like so sweets. Smooth. So smooth. And it tastes exactly like a chocolate drink.
But yum. A chocolate drink.
I like giving it that unimaginative name because I quite like an unimaginative name. I think a chocolate drink sounds like a fun.
I was going to call it. It's not Terry's. He's a cunt.
I prefer that actually. Only because in spirit of my naming a drink at the Bill Murray, which became the Wanker's Delight, mine was the cunt special. Cunt and then it's like, that's too much, Masood. I was like, is it? It is.
Is it? Masood got really aggressive.
I feel like you had a bad day.
I think I did. So it's not Terry's, he's a cunt. I like. And, you know, if you want to do not safe for work version, but a bar version, you go, he's a twat, he's a dick. You could interchange that.
So it's one measure of whiskey, half a measure of the chocolate liqueur, orange liqueur, chocolate orange liqueur, and then two dashes of chocolate bitters.
That sounds nice. What have you got there, Suze?
I've got here. Do you remember I had that Glaswegian gin, raspberry and rhubarb gin, brewed and distilled, etc., in Glasgow? A gift from Natalie O'Donoghue. Thank you very much. And I've put it in. It's half and half, shaken over ice, with Dead Man's Fingers. What's it? Reposado tequila.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which is pretty delicious. Which is
that's supposed to be quite a nice one.
It's very nice.
I wouldn't have occurred to me to mix tequila and gin, but I'm not Suze Kempner.
It's probably because it's a terrible idea. I haven't tasted it yet.
Well, no, no. Because I remember when I started.
No. Oh, right.
Yeah. So when I started having to make our own drinks, because it was weird for a while. Obviously, Masood, you'd make the drinks. Now it's commonplace for us to make our own. But
yeah.
Do you remember when lockdown started happening and we were like, oh shit, gotta make our own?
We've got to make our own drinks. Yeah.
I would make them very strong because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, same. I used to make half a pint.
And then as I've gone on, like I've started, and now I've made a few that are just pure booze. Yeah. It still wouldn't occur to me to mix tequila and gin, but tequila what you've gin. Described sounds,
well, sounds quite nice.
I mean, the description of this Cornish tequila is, says it's created and blended at the Rum and Crab Shack in St. Ives, Cornwall. Tequila reposado is aged in bourbon barrels for a smooth taste and a flavour of vanilla and honey. And I thought, it is nice. It's very smooth. I thought that'd be nice with the raspberry and rhubarb gin. So I'm going to taste it now.
Oh, you haven't tried it yet?
Yeah, it's really nice. I think you'd like it.
I can imagine it's quite nice. I imagine
there's a lot in that glass.
Do they like...
It also had some ice in it.
They probably bring it in.
Is it one of each? Have you done the same measurements?
It's a perfect.
Dead man's... Bingo.
They do tons. My venue in Edinburgh, the Banshee Labyrinth, shout out to the Banshee Labyrinth, best venue in Edinburgh, on the bloody Free Fringe. They had all the different Dead Man's Fingers tequilas lined up along the back of the bar.
The Rum and Crab Shack.
I do very much like St. Ives.
Oh, yeah.
Crab Shack. Oh, Crab Man is from My Name is Earl.
Crab Man.
Yeah.
That's the herb fella.
Yeah. I can't imagine Cornwall is a very good place to grow agave.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, like it's not exactly a desert like.
No.
But it sounds
the way
nice,
things
though.
Are going though. It is, it's really nice. And I, and the name I've given it is From Cornwall to Glasgow. Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah, that amazing. Works both ways as well. Like you know, with the
I like that
Scottish accent as well. Aye, aye, aye.
I thought that was fun.
I like that. That works. That flies.
It's also you see it on a cocktail menu. You're like, I'm getting that.
Yeah, what the hell is this?
Not only is the aye, aye, aye fun, but from Cornwall to Glasgow is.
Yeah,
makes you
what
think.
Possibly could be in this drink? Tequila and gin. Oh.
Yeah,
ooh, raspberry and rhubarb and honey and vanilla. Oh my! It smells so lovely.
Mm.
Like if you got it, you'd be like, it smells like right. Do you know when you first put a Tic Tac in your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get mint first, do you? You get the
I know what you mean. You get
the coating.
Yeah, that like kind of like fruity
the sweetness.
Yeah, sweet-y. Like vanilla-y. Yeah, it's like. Yeah. That and that's what you get when you first take a sip.
An incredible bit of observational,
yeah.
No,
and
that's
I have
an observational nugget that no one's. I don't think that's ever been vocalized before, Suze.
No,
I don't have a sophisticated palate, but I noticed that's one of the things I liked about Tic Tacs. I don't mind a mint, very nice, but what I like a Tic Tac more because you put it in, you get that first bit where you're like, ooh,
it's that extra bit of flavor just for you.
It's it like feels the outside like... of an ibuprofen.
Yeah, that kind of sugary, sweety. What was I going to say? I got into someone's car once, and it was a very distinct smell. And I was like, smells like desiccated coconut. Like, wow, that is a really astute. How did you? I mean, it does, but
picked
I would
out.
Not have put that smell to our.
Was it desiccated coconut or was it drugs? Because drugs have that sickly sweet.
They do.
Yeah. And they were like, yeah, it does smell like that, Masood. And Masood's like, that car had desiccated coconut in it.
What are you drinking, Masood?
Well, as I'm, we're doing this episode in the daytime and I'm picking up my daughter later, I decided to go for an NA cocktail. One that we had on...
Non-applicable.
Non-applicable cocktail. Non-alcoholic cocktail. One that we had just recently, actually, at a cocktail bar near us. An Elderflower Fizz.
So,
elderflower, mint, lime juice, and then soda water on top of that. And it's one of those ones that you could very easily add. I'd probably go tequila, actually.
That sounds nice. Then it's like a British.
It looked really nice because I.
Yeah, yeah.
When we caught a glimpse of it on the camera earlier, I was like, bloody hell, Masood's picking up his daughter later.
Yeah,
PM. He's gone hard. But like,
sopping down.
So you've put fresh mint in there, have you?
Yes. Fresh mint. Yeah. So I reckon I'd pop tequila in that. That's the one I you could do gin or vodka, but I'd say tequila would be the fun one to go with the lime and the elderflower. It would give it that kind of fun little edge. A British mojito.
It's like a British mojito. Mabrito. Yeah. Like Magneto.
Mabrito.
So between us we've got good drinks, but what has Chris got for us?
What do you have for us, Chris?
Welcome to Mystery on the Rocks episode 150.
Hey!
I feel like we should have a little
episode 150.
I was like, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, it's just sort of like coincided quite nicely. Episode 150, but we're tied into the season that we're currently doing.
Sure.
So what is it? But it turns out this is quite a big one for 150. 1986. Would you like to hazard a guess?
Oh God!
We've done the umbrella. We've done.
Hey.
Hey.
86.
Is it the fall of the Berlin Wall?
That's 88.
No.
That's 88, isn't it? Yeah.
No, Berlin Wall was 89, surely.
89.
Oh, it was much later.
It's not, it can't be Greg Louganis hitting his head on that diving board, because that was definitely 88.
Is it Reagan? Assassination, nope. Attempt on
no,
Reagan?
That no, that was 81.
And we know, did it anyway.
Yeah, he's free and he's making music. Let him live. John Hinckley.
I think you're going to get really excited when I tell you, but I'm because I thought you'd guess, but you haven't. So do you want me to put you out your misery, or do you want to keep going? Because this could be the whole episode.
It's guesstimations. No, go on.
Go on.
It is Chernobyl.
Yay!
Oh, I'm so happy. Thousands died.
And many more for many generations.
They continue to. That's the beauty of Chernobyl. My friend Johnny Wu was doing a show the day, you know, like we had that crazy Monday, Tuesday where it was like it's 40 degrees plus. I was on the Sunday doing a gig outside and it was very hot. And Johnny was doing the show after me. So I stayed and watched and everyone was just so hot. And Johnny said, "You're all hot now, aren't you? It's going to be 41 degrees tomorrow." And everyone went, "Oh." And then Johnny went, "Thousands will die."
Oh, God.
And everyone went, "Oh, bloody hell."
Yeah.
So that's me when I think about Chernobyl. Thousands will die.
I mean, they did.
They did.
But
they did.
And incidentally, let's talk numbers right now.
Mm.
There were fewer than 100 deaths directly attributed to the accident,
which is wild.
Yes. Fewer than 100.
Yeah.
But obviously, and they have to say estimates, but the increased mortality over subsequent decades, that's where the
That's where the damage is. Yeah,
it's a little bit like Hiroshima, isn't it?
Yeah,
so you can't so there's no Fat Man and Little Boy or Big Boy, Fat Man and Little Boy, I think it was
Fat Man and Little Boy,
yeah,
with Chernobyl, there's no consensus on the actual. Approximately 30 people died from immediate blast trauma and acute radiation syndrome in the seconds to months after the disaster. That blows my mind. So from
30,
and then the scale is in the seconds to months. Yeah. So there were some people that died instantly, and then other people died months later, and that's still numbered total 30. And then apparently respectively 60 in total in the decades since either of the radiation-induced cancer. But then there are some people say that there are there's a debate concerning the accurate number of projected deaths that are yet to occur because it's fairly recent history, Chernobyl.
Yes.
We are not old people.
No.
So it happened... me and Suze were alive. It happened just before... you were born, Masood.
Old Mousy was born. But we don't even know the implications of that much radiation being released in the atmosphere over the period of time that it has been, because that's never happened.
We don't know
what that's still doing. We have no idea.
I see it.
Yeah, because there were people that lived with the ill effects of Hiroshima and Nagasaki for decades, and they were still finding out, like...
Yeah, stuff about
that
it.
Long afterwards,
yeah.
Oh, man. So long-term death estimates range from 4,000, and that was a 2005 and 2006 United Nations consortium estimate.
Okay.
And that was for the most exposed people of Ukraine, Belarus, and Russia, to 16,000 cases in total for all those exposed on the entire continent of Europe, because Chernobyl was a hell of a guff. It went across Europe.
It was a hell of a guff.
But as soon as the explosion, I was like, that's a hell of a guff.
Whoa, hell of a guff. Hillary Guff.
With figures as high as 60,000 when including the relatively minor effects around the entire planet.
Fuck, yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Well, there's so much, obviously, to do with Chernobyl.
For those listening that might not know what happened.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
It was a nuclear power plant that had a meltdown.
Mm.
Yeah, just lost it.
Just like, oh, I've had enough, lads.
Yes.
An explosion caused by, lots of things, which we'll get into for sure. Oh, yeah. No, one of the things that blows my mind is, and I imagine we've all seen the TV show, but watching TV show, I'm one of those people who's like, let's look further, and looked up a whole bunch of other stuff around it. There's a scene in the show where, and this actually happened, I think, it's almost like it looks like a large flashlight from the center of the explosions, like going up into the sky.
Yeah, like a fucking science fiction.
That's the air is like irradiated.
Yeah.
And that's what it is causing that. It's like it's so irradiated, it's causing like this huge pillar of light to.
It's insane. And they were
a lot of radiation.
It was a whole different culture to ours in that people in the country were like would all muck in. So yes. If you were told like, okay, they sent a load of people down to turn off the water.
Oh yeah.
Which is in the show as well. Yeah. Because if it got into the water supply, it could have been millions of deaths. Yeah. So they were like, we need to turn off the water. So they sent these divers down to do it. All these divers actually survived as well, I found out.
Which is mad. Because they were like,
because they were in the fucking water. Yeah.
But also they went in not possibly expecting to survive. Mm. They went in sort of like as a weird.
Yeah, they may not have been able to complete the task.
Yeah.
So they sent them in and they just did it. And apparently that was very common. They had to scoop all the stuff that had gone up in the blast off the roof of the building, didn't they? And throw it in. And they were sending people in one by one. They were like, you all have 45 seconds. You throw something off and then you run down and that's your job.
Yeah. It's interesting when you said, it was a different culture and everybody mucked in. Mm. Surface level workers would.
Yeah.
But a lot of the Chernobyl accident was basically people covering their own asses and not mucking.
Oh, yes, no, yeah, this as well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And one of those people was Eddie Marsden.
are we going to go timeline or are we just going to, how are we going to do it?
No, I reckon because like you know as much about the Chernobyl incident as me, then we'll just talk about it. Because I don't want it to, I can chime in with facts if they're relevant and I see them. But yeah. The actual accident happened during a safety test. It was meant to measure the ability of the steam turbine to power the emergency pumps that for water. The water would flow around as a coolant and they were basically testing the ability of that turbine to power those emergency water pumps. In the event of a simultaneous loss of power and a coolant leak. And then they planned a decrease of reactor power to prep for the test, but the operators accidentally dropped power output to almost zero. And then while recovering from the power drop and stabilizing it, the operators removed a number of control rods, which apparently they exceeded limits set by the operating procedure. So they took too many out. And then upon test completion, the operators triggered a reactor shutdown. And then it was a design flaw that resulted in localized increases in reactivity within the reactor.
It was like, it was a combination though. It was like a design flaw as well as like a lot of corners being cut.
Yeah.
A design flaw. Yeah, exactly.
There was some operator error as well.
It was a combination.
Then there was a rupture of fuel channels led to a rapid decrease in pressure, which then caused the coolant to steam. And that decreased neutron absorption, leading to an increase in reactor activity, which then further increased coolant temperatures, and that resulted in steam explosions. And it was the steam explosions that melted the whole reactor core.
Fuck.
It's nuts, isn't it?
It's crazy in the show as well when they sort of cut to, and I think this is like a reported thing that happened, is like when he went into the reactor room and he sees those things like bouncing up and down.
And he's sort of like panics.
And you're like, oh, that's bad. And the rods, they weigh something ridiculous, like I don't know, like 500 kgs or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're fucking dancing. Yeah, it's mad.
We're in a lot of trouble here, boys.
Like, what a guff. Gets on the phone.
Guff tax.
I think we're in Guff Town. Looks like pulling at his collar.
I'm gonna say his Guffville. Population us. I think we're in Guff Town. This whole thing is gonna guff.
So then those explosions ruptured the reactor core and it destroyed the reactor building. That immediately was followed by an open air reactor core fire, and that lasted for a week and a half.
The fire lasts for a week and a half, and it's mad because obviously.
Hang on a minute. Yeah, no, just over a week, 8 days. Yeah. Sorry.
Right.
I don't know why I thought.
And it's mad because like this had never happened, right? So everyone's like, oh, cool, we'll just put out the fire.
Yeah.
And no one really knows, like, should we be touching the stuff that's on the ground?
Why are we bringing Chernobyl into this? Because one, it's not a mystery. And two, it's not really to do with espionage. But it factors into geopolitics quite considerably.
Oh, yes.
Because when you think about how the Cold War up until this point was lived under the threat of nuclear disaster.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it, and then this happens. It's sort of like it's not done by an enemy. It's it's an accident. But it does remind people about the dangers of nuclear power if handled incorrectly or I guess then malevolently if an enemy decided to use it against you. But it's almost everybody. It was almost the world's worst nightmare at this point.
Yes. Yeah. Oh God. And just exactly how they handled it. Absolutely. You're right. It's like, is that kind of thing where, we tie into geopolitics a little bit because how they handled it, they were still kind of being like, we can't let anyone know how bad this is.
It happened 2 months after Olaf Palme got shot. And he was a big supporter of nuclear energy.
That's right. Yeah, he was all thumbs up nuclear. Yeah.
Oh, nice one, dickhead.
I was just remembering in the show the guy who played Victor Bugh, Con O'Neill. You know the guy I'm talking. You'll know the guy I'm talking about.
I know exactly. He follows me on like Twitter.
Does he? Oh,
he's an uncle.
Like He's a good fella. He's a good egg. but he's great in that. He sort of very much plays that. I think it is a real person. I'm not sure, but like
yes, they are. I think they're all real.
They're all real people. Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, really and great.
Yeah, he plays that kind of one who's all for like, no, let's cover up. No one can know anything about it. It's all fine. Fucking, how bad is it? They're like, oh, it's fucking bad. He's like, nah, not really.
I think so.
Because they delayed or they tried to delay evacuation, didn't they?
Well, yeah, because it was what's the name of the town that was just by it that everyone so that each of these
Pripyat.
Yeah, all of these nuclear power plants had like a little city around it, and everyone in the city worked at this power station basically. Which is like a fucking mad future idea.
It was modern industry, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. And this was like, and this is Russia back in the fucking 80s when people were still queuing for bread, and then they had these kind of things of like, here's the fucking future.
Yeah, these... like Stevenage.
Yeah, with their space center.
welcome to Stevenage.
There's no nuclear power plant in Stevenage.
There is not, unfortunately.
So it's not as good as Chernobyl.
The open air reactor fire lasted until the 4th of May. So the accident happened on the 26th of April.
Amazing.
And then airborne radioactive contaminants were released, which were deposited into other parts of the Soviet Union and Europe. So
yeah, 70%. Like they reckon parts of Scandinavia, it was blowing over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And weren't there like, because I remember growing up in like, I guess not the immediate, but some of the aftermath of Chernobyl.
Yeah.
We're still making news stories where...
Because it was this ghost town.
Yeah.
Yes.
Occasionally just hear about it. Like, still no one's there.
But also, like, birth defects that were happening in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
For people in Germany.
That's fucking mad. I think a friend of mine told me he was in the Czech Republic and he was like, oh, yeah. He was walking around. He's like, wow, there's a lot of deaf people here. He's like, why is that? And he was talking to somebody like, oh, it's because of Chernobyl. It's because it's like a large percentage of the population.
A lot of people born deaf, right. Yeah.
Those radioactive contaminants went all over Europe and the Soviet Union. 70% landed in Belarus, which was actually, it sounds far away, but it was 10 miles away.
Jesus
But that's why so many landed there. Yeah. The fire released about the same amount of radioactive material as the initial explosion. So that fire that lasted the week
still over time
let out as many as the initial explosion did. Jeez. And so then there was the exclusion zone, which was about 6 miles. That was created 36 hours after the incident, not immediately.
Immediately, which is what you would have thought they would have done. Yeah.
So from that exclusion zone, about 49,000 people were evacuated, primarily Pripyat. And then the exclusion zone was later increased to 19 miles and another 68,000 people were evacuated.
Oh, wow.
Shit.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The initial explosion killed two engineers and severely burned two more. And then a massive emergency operation to put out the fire, stabilize the reactor, and clean up the radioactive material began. And during the immediate emergency response, 237 workers were hospitalized, and 134 of them exhibited symptoms of acute radiation syndrome. Mm.
And like acute, and the other one are there. It's really weird because it terrifies the shit out of me. But like, there's a period of time where you're like, it's horrible, and then you're fine, and everyone's like, oh, you're all good, and then you yes. become a human soup, and you're like,
yeah. There's the bit where there's like the 2 days where you're like, oh, I'm fine, and yeah. I find that really weird. Like, it's obviously your body adjusting to radiation poisoning, but then everything melts, and there's nothing, they can't do anything with painkillers or anything, so you're just like, melting and feeling every bit of it. Awful.
Yeah, they're just like, just kill him. I'd just be like, you know
put
what?
Me out
just,
of my who, fucking
who's got
misery.
Radiation poisoning? We've all got AK-47s. Let's just walk in, just do the lot. And just,
one of the things that about the Chernobyl series that didn't do much for me was they focus a lot on. So they had to go and cull a load of the animals, like pets.
Oh yeah.
Were left behind in Pripyat and Chernobyl, which is very sad. Obviously, all these people's pets had to be killed, but they focus on it to an alarming degree. It's like, guys. There's all like families in that melting, literally melting in hospitals. And you're like, we're going to have to shoot these puppies. Like, oh no, that's really sad. Yeah. Don't keep showing me it.
Yeah. Like maybe like a quarter of the episode, we get it.
They did a whole episode on it. They obviously really overestimated like.
Yeah, and it wasn't just pets, it was livestock because there were cows.
Which is, you know, it's like a.
Which I guess they would have had to do because people were eating the cows.
Yes. So like,
Or drinking their milk or whatever. So
and people's cats were like walking around just full of radiation.
And people were sucking them off. So.
Can we kill the guy as well? I just think we should. I don't know if we should report it.
No, he'll find other cats.
Surely all those people got radiation poisoning as well because they were hanging around those puppies going, no, I can't so much.
radioactive puppies. So, like I say, 237 workers hospitalized, 134 with the symptoms of acute radiation poisoning. Of those hospitalized, 28 died in the following 3 months.
Shit.
And then in the following 10 years, 14 more workers died.
Fucking hell.
That does not sound like enough for the enormity of the incident.
Of the event, right? That's remarkably small.
I find that even more terrifying. And here's why. It's this, like the largest, I think there's only ever been two this large. Two nuclear energy accidents rated at the maximum severity on the international nuclear event scale. This one, and
which it was probably invented for.
Yes.
And then the Fukushima nuclear disaster in Japan, which was 2011.
I was going to say, that was way later.
They're the only two, right? So something that enormous, like sounds like the death toll should be huge. But what's more frightening is the long-term effects of the slow poisoning. That frightens me more than the do you know what I mean? Like hearing of something that enormous, but it doesn't kill you in the way that you expect it to. No, don't like it.
No, I don't like it one bit.
It might get you. It might. Yeah, and then you've got people living in fear of like, oh my God.
Mm. Yeah. And there's no way to check.
It's because the Fukushima one, I don't think, did many people die from that? I don't think they did. I don't know if anyone died, actually. I'm just looking it up.
I can find out for you.
Oh, there was one confirmed death. And 16 with physical injuries due to hydrogen explosions, and 2 workers taken to hospital with possible radiation burns.
That's fuck all.
And that's the second biggest
Fukushima.
One. Yeah, that's Fukushima, yeah. that's Fukushima, mate.
That's Fukushima oppist.
But it was a only... Oh, just over 10 years ago.
Yeah. So
11 years ago, actually. But like that means that more could still die. Unless our treatments because of Chernobyl have come on improved. Leaps and bounds or whatever.
Yeah.
I think, but also the...
That was triggered by an earthquake, by the way, the Fukushima one.
Yes.
Which is not... That's like oh, it was a huge
earthquake, wasn't it? It was like an unheard of scale.
I think the safety measures after Chernobyl have made it so that the actual... Something like that happens, the severity of the spreading of radiation isn't as extreme as Chernobyl, because it's like the cutting corners thing and the human error, like there's a lot of things that were wrong, but then a lot of it was down to like them being cheap and not using the right types of materials to house things. And so like part of the reason it was so severe was because they're like, they essentially put nuclear radiation inside a fucking cardboard box and hoped that it wouldn't explode.
Right.
And
well, we put it in this box.
Yeah, it should be fine. And so
there is maize on back. There is maize on back of box. You'll find Tony Tiger in middle.
I don't even need to do the pen. He's right there.
That's just reminded me of a bit, you know, John Luke Roberts, his show this year. He said, imagine a world just like our own. But Tony the Tiger's catchphrase is instead, I'm grieving.
I like that.
I'm grieving.
Grieving. I can see it on the box.
Are there still breakfast cereal mascots? Because you don't see adverts for them anymore. Or at least I don't, anyway.
I mean, I do, because I'm in that world now. But so Tony's still kicking about, as are Snap, Crackle, and Pop, those three lads.
What about Coco the Monkey? Is Coco the Monkey
still? Coco the Monkey's still about.
I reckon
the reason I ask is because...
He's a racist.
I remember sort of like, even as a kid, finding it really weird that they'd animate the milk turning chocolatey. Because it looked like someone just... Shitting in the
milk.
That's a bit cut out.
Bowl of big fat plops.
They actually, it's actually out of the frame.
Chris loved that. He was like, brilliant stuff.
I think some of your best work, Suze.
It's up there with some of the great songs that I've performed.
Part of me actually was genuinely impressed that you came up with it and it scanned. Like
big fat plops.
I'd like to see a breakfast cereal mascot cinematic universe.
Oh my God.
You know, the leprechaun from Lucky Charms teams up.
Yeah, what happened to Lucky Charms? Can you still get those?
In America,
From American sweet shops. You know,
Remember
I got you those Eggo's breakfast cereal?
Yeah, and I found the other day, I'm going to crack them open actually. The Jolly Ranchers.
Oh, have you not opened them yet?
I never ate them.
Oh, the Jolly Ranchers, yeah.
And Captain Crunch. Good old Captain Crunch. That's what you want in there.
What's that? What's Captain Crunch?
Captain Crunch is the cereal that jokingly cuts the roof of your mouth. It is very sharp. But essentially it's
I reckon these are gonna do that.
There is also who else? There was the Nesquik Bunny. I reckon the Nesquik Bunny.
Has
a rival.
He's a good guy.
Isn't there
a rival in Cocoa Monkey, I think.
There's a bee.
The bee was for Cheerios.
Honey Loops. Honey Nut Loops.
Yeah.
Honey Nut Loops. Not Cheerios.
Snap, Crackle, and
Cheerios didn't have a mascot, but the Honey Cheerios did, I think.
Oh, I liked multigrain Cheerios.
Hang on.
What were the different Cheerios? I'll tell you what
didn't have a mascot was Shreddies. I feel like it should have. It had like a hunger
Yeah,
it was like, hunger's going to get you. Keeps hunger locked up till lunch, and hunger was like this monster.
And it, but it, wasn't, like, on the, it wasn't on the boxes. Was fishing.
Yeah, and it wasn't on the boxes. It wasn't on the boxes, yeah.
Oh, Fruit Loops had that. It just had that chicken.
Fruit Loops had that. Was it a toucan? Wasn't it? With a big old beak.
I don't think I had Fruit Loops.
Oh, Fruit Loops. Fruit Loops were the fucking... That was it in my
house.
A Jolly
Fruit Loops
Rancher. Or Captain Crunch.
Yeah. For listeners, Sue's unwrapped a Jolly Rancher and she had to hold it aloft with both hands.
I was like Simba.
Well, everything the light touches. I won't touch the stuff. Like, maybe if I'm like, okay, I'm in a rush, fine, I'll have two Weet-Bix, but that's it. Like the most depressing cereal on top of that, which I would consider Weet-Bix.
Adults, yeah, so the grown-up cereal, what would the mascots be? Because I feel like Weetabix, the mascot, would be a slimming IT technician.
Yeah.
Slimming, you know? Oh, I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Special K is just a lady in a red swimsuit.
Oh, yeah.
And the Special K diet is bullshit. It's like, eat Special K for every meal.
And then
dinner
shit
in
yourself.
The evening.
You shit
yeah,
your guts out.
Well, the opposite, probably. You'll be like, you'll be plugged up for months, you cunt.
And a part, the second part of the diet is you gotta shovel in a bunch of fucking prunes.
Mm.
Or cover Special K in prune juice instead of milk. And then you'll sort of be plugged up. But then
there are some people, aren't there, that put juice on cereal instead of milk?
They're those fucked up. They're fucked up motherfuckers.
And if any of those people are listeners to the show, please unsubscribe to the show.
Right,
we don't want you listening.
Juice.
Where's my list then? So we've got Gen Xers. Mm-hmm. We've got people that put juice on cereals. Turns out there's three people left listening.
Out of four.
Oh, no.
The expat Gen Xer who pours apple juice on their nut clusters.
It's like, I'm never listening.
I'm out.
Bye.
I'm out. Well, because this is the other thing as well. It was human error, yes, but it was also pressure from, you know, we've got to remember Russia in the 80s.
Well, they were saying, weren't they? This is going to be very dangerous. And the guys in charge were like, fucking do it.
Just do it. And like, yeah, because if you don't, we'll fucking kill your families, mate. And they're like, okay.
Well, yeah. And it was all like, oh, come on, we got to get this done now.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for? And they're like, well, I don't know. Like, well.
It was all very much still that fear of the, you know, yeah, like, well, oh, then you won't work again. Like, if you don't do this, then we'll take your jobs and you can't work anywhere again. They're like, oh, all right then.
Oh, better do it then. I love working here at this nuclear plant.
At this nuclear power plant, and at which there's always a leak. There's always something leaking. Yeah. There's always water leaking everywhere. And there's like a strange metallic smell. Anyone else smell it? Just me.
I don't like it. I think wind farms.
It's
wind farms, please. You're going to get an explosion at wind farm, are you? No. Unless it's after a big curry.
Hell of a guff.
Guff town.
Guff town. Population.
So we're straying very far from Chernobyl. I think because it's such a disaster that we can't really find any jokes that are tasteful. But as well as the immediate thing, there was it turned 4 square kilometers of a forest reddish brown and killed it.
Jesus. Wow. That's fucking mental.
So
that's
a lot of animals in the worst hit areas died or stopped reproducing. It sterilized them.
Amazing.
Then going
they
back to what you
said. Talk of like birds falling out the sky and that.
Yeah. So what you said about domestic animals, a lot of them were removed from the exclusion zone. Horses were left on an island in the Pripyat River. And then they died when their thyroid glands were destroyed by radiation doses. Some cattle on the same island died, and those that survived were stunted because of thyroid damage. But the next generation, when they reproduce, they seem to be actually quite normal.
Oh, right.
Mutation rates for plants and animals have increased by a factor of 20 because of the release of, and I hope I say this right, radionuclides from nuclides. Okay.
They became super plants.
Well, I hear about like mutations in animals. That makes me go, ugh. But mutations in plants, I'm like, ooh, what's this?
They just
great big strawberries.
Massive strawberries, mate.
There is evidence for elevated mortality rates and increased rates of reproductive failure in contaminated areas. So,
okay. Yeah.
That's not funny.
On high ground, such as mountain ranges, there was increased precipitation due to adiabatic cooling.
I guess it's like
a type of thermodynamic process that occurs without transferring heat or mass between the thermodynamic system and its environment.
So it's there you go. Because rain Lucy learned this, is the heat up and it goes out, it gets evaporated into the sky and then it cools down and it becomes rain. So it's just that part that doesn't get done. So
it resulted in localized concentrations of contaminants on distant areas. So basically it rained down radiation.
Nuclear shit.
Nuclear shit, boy.
Yeah, but it was higher in, I guess, contamination than it was in the lowlands.
All right.
So this effect occurred on high ground in Norway and the UK.
Fuck. Oh, wow. Okay.
Right.
The Norwegian Agricultural Authority reported in 2009 a total of 18,000 livestock in Norway required uncontaminated feed for a period before slaughter to ensure that their meat had an activity below the government permitted value of cesium per kilogram.
Jesus. Wow. That's, I mean, come on.
This contamination was due in 2009.
That's 23 years.
To residual radioactivity from Chernobyl.
Jesus.
Back in Ukraine.
Fuck
me. Fucking hell.
That's mad.
We're all full of radiation.
The UK restricted the movement of sheep from upland areas when radioactive cesium fell across parts of Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland and Northern England. In the immediate aftermath of the disaster in 1986, the movement of a total of 4.25 million sheep was restricted across a total of 9,700 farms to prevent contaminated meat entering the human food chain in the UK.
Jesus.
And that's, like, you look at it on a map, we're a long way from Chernobyl.
Yeah, very, very, very far away.
Very far? I want to visit.
The legislation used to control sheep movement and compensate farmers was revoked during October and November 2012.
Shit, it was son, that's until 10 years ago.
By the relevant authorities in the UK, the Tories.
Yeah.
Had the restrictions in the UK not occurred, a heavy consumer of lamb meat would have likely received a dose of 4.1 MSV over a lifetime.
Is that a lot? I don't know. Is that enough to give you like a big mad eye?
Yeah.
I got that wrong. I've just put MSV. And it's a TV channel called Motorsport V.
Motorsport V, mate. It's fucking brilliant.
Not 4.1 Motorsport V.
Yeah, so it's a unit in the International System of Units intended to represent the stochastic health risk of ionizing radiation.
Okay. Well, how do you do?
There's a lot of technical stuff here that I don't get.
That's like me when I read stuff about 9/11. I'm like, okay, velocity rates. I get it.
Oh, cyber. Oh, yeah. There we go. As I'm trying to figure out what the... Because I know the... I thought it had a different name. I only know Geiger counters because of that.
Yeah. That was very effective within the show Chernobyl. They'd be in bits of the building, wouldn't they? Going, ooh. And it would go...
Yeah, shit.
And they're like, whoa!
The radiation's in the room with us. Oh my god!
The clicking of a Geiger meter always reminds me of a purring cat.
Ah, it always reminds me of the game Half-Life because that's
more nuclear than a cat, isn't it?
Is that part of it? Probably. Oh, not a cat in Chernobyl though.
By 2000, the year 2000. The number of Ukrainians claiming to be radiation sufferers and receiving state benefits for it had jumped to 3.5 million, which is 5% of the population in 2000.
That is fucking huge.
That's huge.
Many of these are populations resettled from contaminated zones or former or current Chernobyl plant workers.
Mm. Okay. Whoa.
And apparently there is even now, to this day, a motivated push to achieve sufferer status as it gives access to state benefits and medical services that would otherwise not be made available to you.
Yeah. If you think about it, it's like fucking, we were just hanging about and then fucking nuclear planet.
Yeah, especially as it's out there now that they, stopped the evacuation.
But again, it exploded in a really like unexpected way that I still can't really get my head around because I don't know how it works. But the fact that it didn't actually just like blow up like you'd think it would. You know, when like Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it's a nuclear bomb and it's like a big mushroom cloud and all of that. When you hear about a nuclear power plant blowing up, you think fucking hell it's nuclear, but it's nothing like
a nuclear blast,
an A-bomb. Sort of like, it's almost like, it's almost like, again, Silent But Deadly.
Guff Town.
Guff Town. Because it ends up doing this, killing you slowly.
Yeah. Which is a failed song from
because you've got the center of a nuclear disaster.
Yes.
Two people died straight away.
That, you think like it doesn't make sense.
It still doesn't compute to my head because I'm not clever enough to understand how nuclear power works. I just don't get it.
It's like,
but in my head, when you hear about a massive nuclear disaster, you think, fuck me, that must be devastating. And it is devastating, but not in the way that you expect. That's what frightens me.
Wasn't it still pumping out? Because like obviously the kind of how they finally,
they couldn't stop it.
The giant concrete sarcophagus that they put over the top of it. Because it just keeps pumping nuclear shit into the air.
Because they'd lost, it was the reactor that they lost, right?
Yeah.
So there was nothing keeping anything in. It wasn't going anywhere. It was just going into the
fucking atmosphere. So they're like, I don't know, put a big fucking concrete thing over it, that should stop it, right? And that's what they did. They just fucking covered it in concrete.
Yeah.
You said Let's Go Visit It earlier, and you reminded me of this terrible film in which because it is
you can Die Hard.
they do that. They do go to Pripyat.
They go to Chernobyl in that. Yeah. The climax takes place in Chernobyl.
There's a terrible found footage horror film set there because like apparently that's a popular thing, is that you can, is the tours that you can go to,
you can go visit and they make you wear a little thing,
Geiger counter
that registers radiation, and once it's gone a certain color they're like, you have too much radiation, you have to go now.
I
expect they're being very careful.
Oh yeah, but obviously in the film it's very much like, it's a shifty Russian people who are taking them on this trip, and they're like, and then they get lost, and then it turns out that there's creatures in
more disrespectful.
That's way worse than us.
Yeah, just be like, so what, the radiation just turns people into fucking monsters, does it? Right. Yeah, instead of being like, well actually the scariest thing is that everyone just dies slowly of radiation poisoning. The film is fairly uneventful, and then it's just the rest of their lives.
The film is days long.
One of them becomes sterile, and another one like loses sight in one of their eyes.
They don't find out that they're sterile though until like 15 years from now when they're trying to have a baby.
They're trying to have a baby, yeah. Like, yeah, the heartbreaking scene of them at the doctor's where they're like, I'm afraid you're... He's like, that fucking...
And kid. They can't really understand why. They're like, maybe this isn't going to happen to you. And then they start, I did go and visit Chernobyl.
And they're like, they pay.
Did you leave when your badge turned a funny color? No.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but that's not
You've
it.
You've become a creature.
And then she leaves him, and then he becomes a preacher. But then he turns to drink, and which is a shame. Like it's not an obvious thing, but it's a shame. And then he sort of dies quite uneventfully, falling over while trying to shift some of the ice behind the church. He just slips over, bangs on the railing. That's the noise he makes. The same noise that Al Pacino makes at the end of The Irishman.
in this movie, he's played by what's his name? Patrick Wilson.
Yeah,
Patrick Wilson, who was in Moonfall.
Moonfall, and he's in Phantom of the Opera, and he's singing so beautifully.
I started watching Moonfall. Because I do you remember when we recorded and you said that it's like so bad?
Yeah, it's
I was
awful.
Like, yeah, but is there even any entertainment value in the fact that it's so nonsense? And you went, I wish. Yeah. I sort of like took that on board because you know what you're talking about. And then in the meantime, I'd convinced myself that you must be wrong and that there must be some entertainment value. Yeah, there must be some entertainment value in it. And God, you were right. I turned it off. Like, it's so bad.
I wish it had been more fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it just take itself too seriously?
And it could have been. But also, it's like all of a sudden there's the disasters.
Yeah.
Like, that's not even how you structure any story. No. It's like they there's something weird that happens on the moon, and then it builds up. And then, like, one of the, like, a city gets devastated by a tidal wave.
Yeah. Yeah.
That there should have been somebody working a lighthouse, an old salty old sea dog that works a lighthouse that sort of like looks out the window and then sees it and then tries to raise the alarm and nothing and then disaster. Yeah. No, it's just all of a sudden a shot of a tidal wave destroying a city. And it's like, I don't care about that.
Yeah, because for those 45 seconds, you're like, oh no, his family, his kids, that poor salty sea dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a and you don't even need to do it properly. There's a photograph of the family that he looks at it wistfully, and then the lighthouse gets toppled.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, even Deep Impact knew this. That's fucking
structurally like Chernobyl, the disaster.
And what I couldn't believe was that this is directed by Roland Emmerich, the king of disaster movies. He should know exactly what he's doing.
Yeah. All Sarah he had to do was make it stupid, and he couldn't even really do that properly. Yeah.
She said she watched the whole thing, and she said it was as dreadful as you're saying, Chris. She's like, it's so bad.
Because I remember, like, you know, The Day After Tomorrow, that's one of his as well.
Yeah.
That's stupid, but still kind of entertaining.
Yeah, and there's got some fun set pieces, like when they're running away from the ice.
From the frost? Yeah, in the library.
So stupid. And also
the wolves get out of the zoo, but they're okay for the climate.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's it, yeah.
So in amongst everything as well, they've got wolves to contend with.
Oh, and the wolves
I go along with that.
They turn instantly feral. Like, they come out of captivity in which they relied on human beings, I assume, their entire lives, and they're like, no.
Yeah, so the what you're misunderstanding there, Masu, is that the wolves' arc is rage. They're very angry.
The wolves' arc.
They're very angry about it. It's all been set up. They're very angry about having been... in captivity. They didn't like it, so once they're out, they're going to take revenge on Dennis Quaid.
On specifically on Dennis Quaid.
They hate him the most.
Yeah, they're like, how dare you? You were great in Great Balls of Fire, you she said that there's a scene in, like you're saying, in Moonfall where you see cities, but no extras dying. And she's like, that's the best bit of a disaster film.
I get what she's saying, but also it's meant to make you connect with what's happening.
Absolutely.
Seeing the human devastation.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You're supposed
just
to
watching a city. It basically, you might as well just be not even playing a video game, watching a cutscene.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Watching a cutscene from a rubbish game in which not even they have the budget to kill fake people.
It was rubbish. It had like a handful of funny moments, but it wasn't like a joy.
No.
Yeah, which is
the guy that you're meant to, the guy that you're meant to sort of like be rooting for, the everyday Northern English guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh God.
But he's like the hero of the piece because he's proven right. But what's its point? Is it saying listen to conspiracy theorists?
Yeah, yeah.
He's annoying and nuts. Yeah.
That actor, he's from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I think Game of Thrones.
Yes.
I found him deeply annoying. They'd obviously asked fucking Jonah Hill and Josh Gad, and they'd finally gone like, well, we'll ask this guy from Game of Thrones. For some reason, he lives in America, and he's like, hello, everybody, I'm a conspiracy theorist.
His mum's American.
Yeah.
What?
Why? You're part of the movie now.
I get that that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? But like, maybe he reconnected with his mum. Maybe she was American and they were raised in the UK, and then she went back to America when he grown up. He went with her. Maybe.
I'd leave
it works.
If I was his mom.
But when I feel like when you that sort of thing happens, you don't like instantly. You start questioning it. It's like, what the fuck's going on there? And it's really distracting because it's like she's from LA. He's from Sheffield. What?
Yeah.
But then
just tell me why. I mean,
his dad must have been fucking charming as fuck.
Like, I don't know, man. He was annoying.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, his dad must have been like a super dude. Cause like that LA and Sheffield. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I see. Those are two. Yeah.
And Masood is saying that.
Yeah, that's
it.
He's got Kenya and Peterborough. And Masood is saying
he's gotta be.
Masood's parents are Peter Gallagher and Grace Jones.
And Grace Jones. So yes, where were we? Chernobyl.
Oh, we're about to get onto birth defects. So
okay.
Yes. Oh, goody.
Oh, great.
This is before we get onto birth defects, though. Two geneticists, Ronald Chesser and Robert Baker, they in 1996 published a paper on the thriving vole population in the exclusion zone.
They did great.
The voles did all right out of it.
Because there were less predators.
I suppose so. A lot of their natural predators were probably killed.
But do you want to listen? Let's not wait before we start standing the moles. Because yeah. Chesser and Baker said that the mutation rate in these animals is hundreds and probably thousands of times greater than normal. And this claim occurred after they had done a comparison of mitochondrial DNA on the Chernobyl voles with that of a control group of voles from outside the region.
Yeah.
And these alarming conclusions led the paper to appear on the front cover of a prestigious nature journal called Nature.
Okay.
The glove ripped up the glove.
The middle of the glove.
But not long after I don't know how they could show their faces, because Chesser and Baker discovered that they'd incorrectly classified the species of vole and therefore were comparing the genetics of two entirely different species of vole. So that meant that they had to very embarrassingly issue a retraction about their vole paper.
I can imagine the people who sat there being like, oh, unbelievable.
And what I'm saying is the casualties of Chernobyl just keep coming.
They just keep... and then it's the voles. I mean, it's just... It saddens me.
There was a lot of scare stories happening because apparently journalists mistrusted a lot of medical professionals.
Through their
reporting would encourage the public to mistrust them as well.
Because I guess there was a lot of Russia wasn't exactly telling the truth 90% of the time. Yep. So
what happened was, throughout the European continent, due to this media-driven framing of the contamination and what it meant, many requests for induced abortions of otherwise normal pregnancies were obtained out of fear of what happened.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah.
But that doesn't really get spoken about either.
No.
So it wasn't necessarily, obviously it did cause birth defects, I think. And there was obviously had an effect on a lot of people's reproduction, but there were also very healthy pregnancies that were terminated out of fear because of what had happened.
Yeah. Try making a joke out of that, fuckos. Okay, we can't. We really can't. There's nothing we can do about that. No, that's just tragic.
I like that finally Miss John Rocks is stumped for something terrible to say. Would you like to hear some more about Professor Weto? I'm not going to do fuck his song, am I?
I'm just imagining our fan in Watertown saying that, screaming that at the top of his lungs. He's listening to
were they called the Liquidators, those divers?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a fucking cool name. So let's stick with it.
The Chernobyl liquidators were civil and military personnel who were called upon to deal with the consequences of it on the site. And they are credited with limiting the immediate and long-term damage.
Yeah.
So they, maybe not the divers, but they were an all-male civil defense emergency workforce. They went on to father normal children without an increase in developmental anomalies or a statistically significant increase in the frequencies of mutations. And this normality is similarly seen in the children of the survivors of another incident called the Goiânia.
Mm-hmm.
Goiânia? Which was a radioactive contamination accident that occurred in 1987 in Brazil.
Oh, shit. Okay. So sometimes there's not that much, like, some people are fine is what you're saying, is it? And those guys were right at the fucking heart of it, those guys.
And there was a study last year based on whole genome sequencing of children of parents employed as the liquidators, and that indicated no transgenerational genetic defects of exposure of parents to ionizing radiation.
That's good.
I have no idea how much of that is luck or how much of that is like I say, we have no idea how this disaster manifests itself in killing people. I've already said, I'll say it again, can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah,
no idea.
It's either you're dead on arrival, dead over some years, or not. It's like those seem to be the three.
I mean, it sounds to me like it's possible or feasible for somebody possibly, if they hadn't imposed restrictions, to have died from eating a lamb chop in Yorkshire and somebody to have been at the blast site on the day and survived. They could have survived.
Yes.
That person that ate lamb could, like, years later could have died from it.
There's still bloody way. That's, I mean, I do like that comparison. I feel like there's...
Because it obviously can activate cancer cells as well. Because a lot of people then got cancer from...
Well, that's the big scare, isn't it? It's like it kind of makes it go faster.
This is why I don't get radiation, all right? It can cause cancer, but also it's the treatment for cancer. I don't get it.
I guess it what's up with that?
I guess you like overload it so it dies. I don't know.
But I like the a comedian could come out and say that and be like, no, it's a genuine question. I have no idea. There's no joke.
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah. What's the deal with you treat radiation with radiation?
What's the deal with radiation?
But seriously, how does it work? I guess because in my head it was always, I didn't know that chemotherapy was a liquid until fairly recently, and by that I mean the last 7 or so years. I thought it was a fucking like a machine, and they sort of aimed it at the cells, went whoop, and they that's what I thought it was. I never questioned it, never looked
like Al Pacino in The Irishman.
Yeah, despite having so makes the same noise to the information, I was just like, ah, oh, it's a machine in it. And then when I found out it was a liquid, I was like, I didn't tell anyone I didn't know. I just went, okay, it's a liquid. Yeah. That makes more sense as to why it's more easily available and how you can have so many people on at once. Because if it was a machine, there'd be one in every hospital.
Why did you think there were people who were on drips?
I don't know. I thought it was like the recovery.
Were they waiting
from
to
the
go
machine?
In to be booped?
Yeah, I thought it was recovery from the machine. I thought it was like you get sapped of your liquids. I don't know, Chris. This is a weird thing.
We're just getting your blood ready for the boop machine. So let's, because he died yesterday, Mikhail Gorbachev, the final leader of the Soviet Union, stated in respect to the Chernobyl disaster that more than anything else, Chernobyl opened the possibility of much greater freedom of expression to the point that the Soviet system as we knew it could no longer continue. That's why we're doing it in this season, because ultimately, it was a point in the graft of the dissolution of the Soviet Union.
Gotcha.
And like I say, it played into the fears that had held over the last few decades on the entire world. Nuclear disaster.
Well, good job everything worked out in Russia.
Maybe we'll get back to that.
Yeah, maybe. I wonder if I wonder if Gorby will come up again.
Yeah, I feel
Gorby, you didn't do enough.
So that's Chernobyl, episode 150.
That's cool. 150.
Well,
there you are.
Thanks so much, everyone.
If you want to find us, you can. We're on Twitter and Instagram, Mystery on the Rocks with an X. We are on email, Mystery on the Rocks, spelled CKS, @gmail.com. Drop us a line. And if you want to see these episodes, get free merch and cocktail recipes and bonus episodes and everything, you can. Patreon.com/Mystery on the Rocks. Spelt CKS. We'll see you there. Wow, what fun.
I thought both times you said cocktails and bonus, I thought you were going to say, if you want to see cocks and bonus.
Cocks and bonus. This is just the way I operate now. Cocks and bonus, anyone? Just,
all right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.